than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the greed of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to care.
God bless you. Thank you, Mrs. Garner, for that song. I hope you listened as she sang. Walk a little slower, Daddy, said a little child so small. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very fast, and sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for you are leading me. Someday when I'm all grown up, you're what I want to be. Then I will have a little child who'll want to follow me. I would want to lead just right and know that I was true. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for I must follow you. May I say to every father here this morning, your children are following in your footsteps. And where we lead them, whether it be in the good path or whether it be in the wrong path. See, the only thing they know what to be, your sons, daddies, know what to be as a father is what you teach them to be. And so we need to understand that we have people following us. You see, my father, when I was 7, my father was the smartest person in the world. Why, he knows just about everything. When I became 17, I guess my father didn't know as much as I thought he did. When I became 21, my father doesn't know anything at all compared to me. When I was 35, I said maybe my father knew more than I thought he did. And now that I'm nearly 50, my father knows everything. You see, it's a progression, young people. And sometimes you may think daddy doesn't know anything. But you'll find out in due time that dad's been around the block a few times. And you better listen. You better listen to the information and the instruction and teaching that daddy gives you. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, and turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I want to read a portion of Scripture. We don't have the time to read all about this man's life, but I do want to take a portion of Scripture that I think depicted this Bible daddy. Genesis chapter 22 is the story of a man named Abraham. And I want you to stand with me, if you would, this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1 in Genesis 22. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Thank God for listening daddies. He said, "Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Again, thank God for listening daddies. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the thorns, or by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now I want to take these 14 verses this morning and the life of Abraham, and I want to talk to you this morning about the dedicated daddy. The dedicated daddy. Now, Father, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to be together this morning. And Lord, my heart was so stirred over these men. I guess maybe a half a dozen of them that had been married 50 years or more. That stirs my heart to know that these men have been dedicated to their marriage and to their wife for so long. I want to ask you this morning that you teach us something from the Bible. Open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray. And we'll give all the glory and praise to Jesus, for that's whose name we ask these things in this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Some of the greatest memories of my entire life are sweet memories of my dad and I together. Folks, I could sit here and just tell you story after story after story about the times that my dad and I spent together. But may I say something to daddies this morning? You see, my daddy came to my school plays when I was in grade school. You see, my daddy actually attended the PTA meetings. You see, he made time for my ball games. He worked hard to provide for a family of five kids during a very difficult time. You see, he disciplined me when I needed to be disciplined. You see, my daddy never took parenting classes nor attended church regularly, but he knew the difference between right and wrong. You see, he knew that foolishness was bound in the heart of a child, and he knew how to drive it far from me. You see, I never had time out. I never was grounded. I've never been grounded a day in my life. I don't know what that was. My dad didn't believe in that stuff. He didn't believe in timeout. He didn't believe in second and third and fifth and 12th chances. I'll tell you one time, you obey or you know what's coming. He just didn't have time to fool around. Listen, I'm telling you, at the whole time, listen to me, church. Listen to me, folks. My daddy led our home. He directed it. He stays married to my mama now for over 55 years. He's attended every major event in my life. Every major event in my life, he's attended. And can I say this? He did all this as a lost man. He did all this until 1995 when he was here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on a business trip. And I cornered him about his salvation. And that day, that night, probably it was just shortly before midnight, my dad was gloriously and eternally saved. You see, he was acting like a daddy ought to act, even as a lost man. Here we have a congregation full of saved daddies today. I just ask you, when's the last time you've attended a parent-teacher meeting yourself instead of sending the wife to do it? You see, we like to send the wife to do the dirty work. When's the last time that we've been to our kids' ball game or we've disciplined them the way the Bible says we're supposed to discipline them? You see, my dad's now 75 years plus, and every time this morning I close my eyes in my office, I can still see that old white Santa beard. I can still see that old shiny bald head of his. I close my eyes and I can see all that. My daddy now at 75 plus years old can kind of feeble now, can't get around like he used to, going deaf in one ear. But may I say, as much as I love and respect my daddy was never asked to do what Abraham was asked to do. Never asked to do what Abraham was asked to do. And humanly speaking, we consider Abraham a great man. But I want you to remember some things, first of all, about Abraham. Can I remind you that Abraham was human? Abraham was human. Write this down, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 10 through 13. You'll find there that there was a famine in the land. Abraham decides to take his family down into Egypt. But he understood the customs of the Egyptians. So he told his wife Sarah, he said, "Now listen, here's the customs of the Egyptians. If I tell them that you're my wife, they're going to take you from me." So he said, "I don't want you to tell them you're my wife. I want you to tell them that you're my sister." You see, Abraham was human. He lied to Pharaoh about his wife. But wait a minute, he didn't just do it once, he did it twice. He came in conflict or in confrontation again with another king, Abimelech, and he did it again. You know what that tells me about Abraham? He's human. And may I say to you, daddies this morning, you're human. You know what our families need? Our families don't need super dads. They need spiritual dads. They need daddies in the home that'll be honest and upright. You see, he had a son by an Egyptian handmaiden. Now, well, listen, now, he knew that was wrong. But he's human. He's human. You see, out of that relationship between Abraham and Hagar was birthed the Arab nation through a man by the name of Ishmael. May I say also to you that Abraham stopped short in his request to spare Sodom. He started 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, and stopped. You see, there's a lot of times, daddies, that decisions need to be made and we stop short of making the right decision. You see, Abraham was a great man, but he was human, just like you and I. He made mistakes, just like you and I do. We're not trying to be super daddies today. We just need to be real daddies in our homes, in our families. May I say something else about Abraham? Not only was he human, Abraham was honored by God. Abraham was honored by God. Take your Bible, if you would, flip over a few pages to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Not only was Abraham human, he was honored by God. Genesis 18, verse 19, God says, "For I know him," speaking of Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Because Abraham was human, and because he obeyed God, Abraham was honored by God. He commanded his home. He led his wife and his kids. He didn't let mama and the kids lead him. You see, Abraham didn't have a ring in his nose. You see, Abraham led his home. And that's the reason God says, "I know him, that he will command his home. He'll command his family." And God blessed him because of it. You see, he led his home spiritually as well. He taught his home ethics and character. Did you notice in the scripture, it says, "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Listen, they didn't just pick that up down at the schoolhouse. Daddy taught them that. You see, Abraham was not just human. He made mistakes. But Abraham was honored by God because he led his family to Christ. May I say, number three, Abraham was healed of his sins. Turn back a few pages, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. The Bible, speaking about Abraham, says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted," God did, "it to him for righteousness." You say, what is that, preacher? That's called salvation. What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, if they believe on Christ. You say, what's salvation? It's believing. Believing in what? It's believing in a person, not an organization. The person of Jesus Christ. You see, he believed God by faith, and God by grace counted it to him for righteousness. And he was gloriously and eternally saved right there. You know what our homes need? Our homes need saved daddies. They need saved daddies. And here, Abraham, we find in Scripture, he displays his humanity. We also find that God honored him because he commanded his home. And also we know that he was healed of his sin. He got saved. He was a saved daddy in his home. Thank God for Abraham. He set an example for every daddy in this room to follow. Listen, he wasn't a perfect dad, but he was a dedicated dad. He wasn't perfect, he was dedicated to his family. He was consecrated, he was devoted to them. You see, Abraham was dedicated to a number of very important things in his life. And daddies, this morning, I want you to listen carefully. This is not going to be very deep, but it is very, very profound as far as us practicing what the Scripture tells us that we ought to be as a daddy. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. We come to a very sad time in Abraham's life. The Bible says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. Now I want you to notice what happens here. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah, and to weep for her. May I say to you, first of all, daddies, if we're going to be a dedicated daddy this morning, may I say to you, number one, love your wife. Love your wife. One of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is to love their mother. Love their mother. Not only privately in front of them, but publicly and openly before others. They want you to love their mother privately, publicly. Love her vocally. Tell her publicly that you love her. Tell her in front of the kids that you love her. So all our children have to know about what a daddy's supposed to be and how a marriage's supposed to be is what they're going to learn from mamas and daddies. I'm here to tell you, Daddy, you want to give one of the greatest gifts to your children outside of salvation? Love their mother. Love their mother. Treat her like the queen of the home that she deserves to be treated. Sure, obstacles are going to come. Sure, hard times are going to come. But you love their mother. You respect her. You lift her up in the eyes of those kids. I'm telling you, you want to shoot yourself in the foot as a daddy, you treat mama wrong. You treat mama with disrespect. And I'm telling you, those kids, they're not going to rise up and call daddy a great daddy, a blessed daddy. You treat mama wrong, they'll rise up and they'll curse you. You know why? Because they love mama. They'd do anything in this world for mama. One of the greatest gifts, daddy, that you can give to your children is to love their mother. You see, daddy, you can be a leader in your home by loving and giving and communicating and honoring their mother. You see, you'll never understand the stability that you're giving your kids by loving their mother. You'll never understand the security that a child has. It's golden in their life if they know that daddy loves mama. You see, daddy, the kids know when you sneak around behind mama's back. They know. They know when mama's away and daddy does things that he normally wouldn't do if mama was there. I'm just telling you, daddies, love your wife. It's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children. Dedicate yourself to be the best husband that you can be. You see, when we get married, daddies, and we have children, there's not an instruction manual that comes and says, here is how to have the perfect marriage. When every child was born, there wasn't an instruction manual that came tied to their big toe that said, here's the instruction manual on how to raise this child to be a great child for God. You see, kiddos, mamas and daddies, this is their first shot at it. Prior to that firstborn child, they've never been a parent before. And some weren't raised in church. Some weren't raised in a youth department. Some weren't raised in situations like that. Can I say to the kids here this morning, won't you look at me? Give mom and dad a break. Man, we think they're supposed to have all the answers. They don't have all the answers. Listen, I've got five kids. Sometimes you don't think you've got any answers. Give mom and dad a break. They don't have all the answers. They're not always going to make all the right decisions. You know why? Because they're human. Just like Abraham was. Now, daddies, if you're going to be a dedicated daddy, love your wife. Love the mother of your children. Number two, turn back to Genesis 22. If we're going to be a dedicated daddy, not only do we need to love our wives and love the mother of our children, but may I say, number two, daddies, love your children. Love your children. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. And I want you to circle these next three words. Whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. Do you understand, dear church, the story, the verses that I've read to you? Do you understand the magnitude of what God was asking this man to do? Do you understand the magnitude of what's going on here? He says, listen, don't just take anybody, take your son whom thou lovest. And I want you to offer him as a burnt offering unto me. May I say to you this morning, daddies, our children are a gift from God. They're a jewel. They're precious in the sight of the Lord. They're God's heritage and property. May I say to you, daddy, be a good steward. Be a good steward with your children in their upbringing, because God just gave them to you on loan. They're His heritage. Love them and they'll follow you. Love them, and they'll obey you and listen to you. Love them, and they'll honor you. Love them, and they'll care for you in your old age. I'm telling you, we don't love our children like God tells us to love them. If we don't treat them right, if we treat them like they're some kind of servant, let me tell you something, daddy, you're going to get old one day. You hear me? And your children, they could take care of you and meet that need in your old age. Won't even send you a Father's Day card. But listen, if that's the case, that's what we're sowing right now if we're not careful. And listen, there's many a daddies today sitting in rest homes around this country with big old tears running down their face today, wishing that their children would call them. Wishing that they'd get a daddy's day card in the mail from one of their kids. But nothing arrives. No phone call. No card. No letter. You know why? Because as they think back, many of those tears are tears of regret. As they sit there and regret some of the decisions that they made as a father, some of the decisions that they made with their wife or with their children and tears running down their face. And they stare at the telephone hoping that their phone call come, but none ever comes. Love your children and they'll follow you and obey you and honor you. They'll take care of you in your old age. You see, Abraham loved his son more than anything in this world. Now, he loved his wife and he loved his God, but he loved his son. And God told him, he says, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. May I say to you, Daddy, someday God may take something very precious from you. You see, Abraham, did you notice? He didn't say, no, God, please, not Isaac. Did you notice in verse 3, after God gave him the instructions of what to do, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. He didn't question God. He just obeyed. I'm here to tell you, daddies, if we're going to be dedicated, love your wife. Love the mother of your children. And then love your children. Treat them like they need to be treated. Don't let a day go by that you don't look at them in the face and tell them that you love them and that you're happy that God has put them in your family. I'm not saying tell them as they're going out the door, look at them in the face and tell them that you love them. May I say number 3? Daddies, love your wife, love your children, and may I say number 3, love your God. Love your God. I read chapter 22 and verse 3 just a moment ago. You see, as much as Abraham loved Isaac, he loved his God more. So when God told him what to do and gave him the instructions, the Bible said he rose up early in the morning. And as he took that boy, can you imagine the conversations that must have gone on between Abraham and Isaac as they made their way to Moriah? Can you imagine what was going through Isaac's mind as they were walking and finally he got up enough courage to ask, Daddy, here's the wood and here's the fire. But where is the burnt offering? Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham looked at that boy and he said, God will provide himself a lamb. You see, I have no doubt that Abraham already knew before he ever went to Moriah, whatever happened, him and Isaac were coming back. It doesn't matter what happened on Moriah, him and Isaac coming back. You know why? Because when you go earlier, he had a promise from God. He had a promise from God. Let me tell you something, daddies. You better get a hold of a promise from God. Because I'm telling you, the world wants your family. Love your God. Abraham did because God, listen to me, daddies, has given you your family. Remember, Sarah was barren until God opened her womb. You see, you need to love God even when the circumstances make absolutely no sense whatsoever. Maybe you've lost a child in death. Maybe you have a handicapped child. Maybe you've had a child that's messed his life up in drugs or alcohol or with the law. How are you going to respond to your God in times like these? Will you go along with the teaching and teaching your children how to respond to God? Or are you going to blame God? Are you going to say, listen, kids, let's gather together. I don't understand exactly what's going on, but God's got a purpose in everything that He's doing. You know, as Abraham, the Bible says, as he bound Isaac and laid him on that altar. Do you know in my King James Bible, it doesn't say that Isaac even opened his mouth. It doesn't. He said, Daddy, wait a minute, what are you doing? Get up there, boy. God told me I need to sacrifice you. But why? I don't understand. That conversation, I don't believe ever happened. You say, how do you know that didn't happen, Brother Todd? Because I think this wasn't the first time that Isaac had seen Daddy's faith. I don't think this was the first time that Isaac had seen his daddy's God do something great. That's the reason I think Isaac also knew, you know what, it don't matter what happens up here, Daddy, I heard him tell the young men, we will return. I heard him say that. And I believe Daddy. Daddy said, we're going up, bless God, we're coming back. You see, Daddies this morning, love your God, even when the circumstances make no sense. And you'll notice when God provided that Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. God will provide. You see, sometimes, daddies, when you don't have all the answers of decisions that you need to make in your family, may I say Jehovah Jireh to you? God will provide. You know, when the finances get tight and you don't have money to buy the kids new shoes or school supplies, may I say to you today, love your God and Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Now, if you, daddy, ignore your responsibility to your wife, to your children, and to your God, then may I say to you this morning, you will not be the dedicated dad. You will be the desolate dad. You will be deserted and without companionship. If you drop your responsibilities, you're going to find yourself one day desolate, without, destitute. And then you're going to find yourself a despairing dad as you watch your family go directions that you don't want them to go. You neglect your responsibility, you're going to find yourself as the desolate dad, the destitute dad, the despairing dad. May I say, you'll find yourself also as a destroying dad. You neglect your responsibility, you're going to ruin your family. You're going to separate the unity of your family by neglecting responsibility. But I think worst of all, of being a desolate, a destitute, a despairing and destroying dad, is you're going to be a disgusting dad. Disgusting. Say, preacher, what do you mean telling me I'm disgusting if I neglect my responsibility? That word disgusting means distasteful and offensive, because God puts you as a steward over a family. God puts you as a steward over a marriage. God puts you as a steward over your children. And you drop the ball, you're going to be a disgusting dad in the sight of God. You know what? I don't want to be any one of these. I want to be a dedicated dad. I want to be a dedicated dad like Abraham was. I'm just asking you, Dad, this morning, which dad you're going to be? What type of dad are you this morning? If you're to be the dedicated daddy God wants you to be, it starts with Jesus and salvation. You see, you're going to have a hard time loving your wife like she needs to be loved, loving your children like they need to be loved, and loving your God like He deserves to be loved until you become a saved dad. That's where it begins. This morning, you know what our country needs? Our country needs some dedicated daddies. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.